At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I am pleased to be joined by the voice of the Vikings, the host of 9 to Dune on KFAN. He's also the host of the Faith and Goal podcast, and he's the voice of horse racing at Canterbury Park, PA. Paul Allen, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
My man, thanks for the opportunity. And, you know, I follow you on Twitter, so I know you're really into Minnesota sports, and this is a wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And as much as we love Minnesota sports, I think there's something that you and I both respect and love even more, and that's faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I discovered that you came to faith in the Lord at age 52. And for some of us, like me, it takes like a rock bottom moment to rededicate your life to Christ or to dedicate your life in the first place. What was that process like? Because up until age 52, you hadn't yet done that. So was there a moment, was there a spiritual awakening that happened in your life, or what happened?
Well, thank you very much for asking specifically right out of the gate. And, you know, despite calling Minnesota Vikings games, doing 9 to noon on KFAN, calling races, everything you said, my identity specifically with those who know me best is rooted in the Bible and rooted in the triune. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So that's my identity, you know, really moving forward with the rest of my life. And, you know, to really just share in truncated fashion kind of what happened to me is, you know, I'm 58 years of age. I've always believed in God. I always prayed the Lord's Prayer, no matter where I lived, Hawaii, the Philippines, California, Washington, D.C., Minnesota, wherever. And, you know, I always was one to talk to God in essence, like, you know, say I'm walking into an ocean. You know, I always was a person who believed in God and would be like, thank you for this beautiful day, Father, or thank you for this opportunity. So really for the first 50 some odd years of my life, that's who I was. During that time, I had no idea that Christ was God on earth, and B, the significance of the crucifixion and the resurrection. So I went to an evangelical preach at a Baptist church in Minnesota, and Pastor Wes, who's become one of my very best friends and absolutely my go-to teacher, he was doing a series called All Sides of the Savior, and I hadn't gone to church that much in my life. And I'd never read a word in the Bible. I mean, you know, I might have looked at something if somebody asked me something, but I'd never really read the Bible. So he's doing the series, All Sides of the Savior, and it's also a book, and it was The Burden of Unforgiveness. And these passages were popping up, Tim. It's like, you know, Matthew over here, Corinthians over there, Hosea over here, Habakkuk over here, and I had no idea what was happening. But I knew when I left that I felt a way that I'd never felt in my life, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I went to call races at Canterbury, and I just could not wait to get back, but I still hadn't cracked open the Bible. So I go the next week, All Sides of the Savior again, Burden of Idolatry, and I didn't even know what idolatry meant. And here come these passages again. You know, it's Philippians and Revelation and Genesis and Deuteronomy, and I mean, But at that point, you know, I had learned by listening closely that I'm like, so wait a second. The man, Jesus Christ on earth was God. So God became man. All right. So I put that together. And Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, was part of that preach, I believe, one of the first two. And it's, you know, I don't have my Bible in front of me, but it's like Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Mm. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My heart is lowly and my burden is light. And I looked at it and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And, you know, it's the first thing that hit me after I learned the significance and immortality of Jesus Christ. Well, then I'm thinking to myself, you know, if his heart is lowly and his burden is light, like, why am I freaking out at all these little tiny things?
Hmm.
So that was an epiphany, so to speak, that just I never forgot. And secondly, I then went into the Gospel of Matthew and I read that passage, and then I started learning how to read around it, put the context together, tie it to different parts of the Bible, if that's what's required. And so just to fast forward and land the plane, I've taken a bunch of classes on the Bible, you know, like a 7-week course on Revelation, took a class on eschatology, a class on end times, but systematic theology. It was a 13-week course, and I went to about 9, and it again was way over my head, but God had me leave it, recognizing and learning something about an effectual calling, which in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, via predestination, foreknowledge goes to calling, goes to justification, to glorification. And God has me absolutely believing that's what happened in my life at that moment. You know, I always have been with God, and he obviously always has been with me.
Mm.
But until the age 52, he didn't really reach in there and grab me and like put me on my path, so that it's the most beautiful time of my life. It's the greatest time of my life. It's not even close. There are details of life that run me down. But the overarching approach to life, given my knowledge in what matters most in the world, the route to heaven, it's the greatest time of my life, thanks to learning that. And, you know, it's gone to a lot of speaking. I've done sermons. And of late, I had just the unbelievable honor given to me by Trigg, the chaplain for the Minnesota Vikings, to do fellowship the night before the final game of the season, the Lions game, in Detroit at our team hotel for players, coaches, and staff. And when that was out, because it was on my birthday, so like I started it off, and when I saw Cousins walk into the room because he was hurt, and I didn't know he was on the trip, you know, and Kirk and I have talked a lot of Bible. His father, Don, is a pastor in Orlando. I respect him greatly. I've called Don 100 times to ask him biblical questions over the last 5 years. When I saw Kirk walk in the room, I was like, whoa, because, I mean, it's preaching or sharing the word of God for like 70 there or hundreds, you know, which I've done in the past. It's the most daunting microphone work I've ever done in my life. I mean, it continues to be, and it's not even close. And I've called a lot of games, a lot of races, and done a lot of radio shows. So, you know, that really resonates with me, at least. But, you know, at the end of it, they lined up and hugged me. And, you know, Garrett Bradbury, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Hicks, Cam Bynum, Brian Flores, you know, just guys I've gotten to know through faith over the years. And I got some really nice text messages after that about being theologically accurate and impassioned. And so from there, you know, God now has me with a couple of them meeting weekly so that we can iron sharpen iron and better learn about the Bible.
That's
kind
amazing.
Of the A to Z. Yeah. I told you it'd be truncated. Took about 5 minutes. I apologize for that. But that's my story, and God is sticking to it.
Yeah. Well, last night, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm a youth pastor at our local church, and last night I did a message on boldness and faith. Mm. You know, you get to hearing, then you get to believing, but then there's this next step of having boldness and declaring your faith to others, and you know, you got to get through this fear of what other people might think of you. How do you get to that confidence? Where does that confidence come from for you to all of a sudden you're a believer at 52, now you're preaching messages and sermons all over the place, in front of the Vikings roster? Where do you get confidence like that?
Well, you know, that's one of the most unique, best questions that I think I've ever received in a setting like this, talking about faith and the Bible and everything. So thank you for that. I'll get to the confidence part in a minute. It's God has the pedal to the metal with me. You know, the Bible is something I read or listen to every day. I write about stuff with the Faith and Goal podcast. I've been a little sketchy and in and out with that of late, you know, because I've been doing other faith-related things. And so with that said, when I say pedal to the metal is not only am I still learning a lot on a daily basis, but, you know, God also has me with some of these preachers that I watch on YouTube. And it's taken me a while to vet out the types of preachers that I believe are absolutely to scripture. They're not too finger pointy, A-centers or B at religions, you know, that may be works based, which, you know, I don't believe in, but, you know, I'm also not as finger pointy with it as some other people are. So, you know, there's been a lot of learning through that. In 2021, I had the honor, privilege, I guess those are the only two ways to put it, to serve an 81-year-old woman named Armini, who incurred COVID and also had cancer. So when they said, if you have a pre-existing condition and you get COVID, it goes fast. I mean, I was right next to it. So, you know, she, her daughter had COVID pneumonia. So she was in the hospital, so she couldn't be with her mom. So, you know, I had had COVID for 48 hours. It's like four of us got it and mine was gone in 48 hours. I'm glad it was, because I was able to get over there and serve her physically and spiritually for 8 days. Brought right to her death, and to a man, and people get surprised. I bet you don't, but people get surprised when I say this. It was the greatest 8 days of my life. I mean, it makes my chin quiver every single time I think about everything that went into that week and that those 8 days. And when I say the greatest, it's because it's serving somebody physically and spiritually. A, either never happens in somebody's life, or if you're thrust into it, and you know, it's there's only one, I guess there are two ways to go. You either quit or you serve somebody physically and spiritually. So, you know, she died 8 days into it. And then, we went to her funeral in Detroit, and you get a lot of friends and family members, you know, who are crying over her missing their friend and their family member. And, you know, I was really depressed, man, for about 3 months, right up through the beginning of Canterbury Park 2021. Because, you know, like when I say pedal to the metal, Tim, I was like, Father, where are the honors? This is all I want to do the rest of my life, what I just did these 8 days. It was the most powerful, beautiful, satisfying, and a spiritually stimulating thing I'd ever done in my life. And it wasn't like a spiritual buzz where you hear a preach or you read something in the Bible and you're like, whoa, that's really resonating with you. No, this was life, and I just loved it. And, you know, through that, I learned the honors come from God, and I'm on his schedule and we're on his schedule, not on ours. So that was a big eye opener for me when it comes to where are these honors with all these privileged jobs that God has presented me. And that plays into the answer to the question is that, you know, when it's proclaiming my love for Jesus Christ and my belief in the Bible and the triune and, or the Trinity, the Godhead, however you describe it, God, you know, it's hard for me to answer that because God has made things abundantly so much easier for me than he has a lot of people. And what I mean is, you know, I came to the full belief of Christ and understanding of Christ and the baptism in my 50s. But during that time, you know, despite not going to college, despite living just a reprehensible and at times repulsive life back in the 90s, that full of sin, he still permitted me and guided me to become a racetrack announcer on a microphone for 30 years, call Minnesota Vikings football as my very first play-by-play job. I mean, I auditioned for a National Football League play-by-play job, and I went. You know, so God put me there. And this is my first radio show ever in my life, too, at KFAN, and I've done it 26 years. Mm. So, you know, he put all these microphones in front of me and built my confidence and the eloquent speaking styles and the big Twitter following and things like that. And, you know, that in its own right gives confidence. Mm. But I've just learned a lot through the gaining of the confidence of, you know, when to jump in organically, when to back off. And it's just been, it's been a beautiful process. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. And for those of you, I just want to respond to a point that you made. For some people that think that God can't use them, well, you just shared that after 50-something years of life, God was able to grab a hold of you and change you and use you despite past sin. And right. I mean, that's the fact for all of us. And I turn my thoughts and opinions or remember the Apostle Paul. He was Saul from Tarsus, who persecuted and killed Christians. And this is a guy that Jesus impacted and inspired to write most of the New Testament.
Well, and it's, you know, look at you and I, man. I mean, you know, people watching this, a lot of people watching this are going to know you because they follow you. And God has made it with my jobs and the secular shine that comes with them, you know, so that X amount of people watching know what I do. So therefore, hopefully, you know, my and our character is such where, I mean, I'm just going to lay it out like this. Those watching, if you think I'm lying, or if you think I'm exaggerating, or if you think I'm making things up, you're a fool, because I'm not. Hmm. Now, that doesn't wholeheartedly, conclusively mean I'm right. I'm just telling you, I've always believed in God. And, you know, 5 years ago, the calling took place. And fighting through the, okay, look at this Twitter following, the everything God has done for me with these jobs. Let me get out there and share with all nations and the gospel and things like that. Well, I had to slow down on that because it was my schedule, not his. And it was I, not thy. So there's been a lot of learning during this, you know, but, you know, the Bible teaches this. Anything you hear from me, biblically speaking, to the best of my ability, is going to be straight from the Bible. It's not going to be my opinion. And I don't care if you're an atheist like Richard Dawkins, if you are a preacher, one of my favorites, like the late, great Billy Graham, may God rest his soul. Whatever God wants you to do, whenever he wants you to do it, it's, you can't stop it. And I didn't try to stop it. And God gives free will with the ability and potential for evil and sin. And free will is very important. But if he wants to change it all for you, it's going to change for the better. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean, I couldn't tell you just how many stories I have of God changing something in my life to make it happen, whatever he wanted to happen. Sunday, March 10th. I'm preaching at our, I'm my youth pastor, so I preach in front of the 6th through high schoolers. Yep. I've been given the opportunity on Sunday, March 10th, to preach in front of our entire, in front of the entire auditorium, in front of our entire congregation. So if you're interested, Transform Church Sunday, Sunday, March 10th, in Andover. Wow. But we can shift gears. What time? 9 and 10:45.
Yeah, make sure you text me on that, man, because I got you. I mean, not only to support you, you know, but I bounce around to church. I go to Faith Family Church. Mm-hmm. Pastor Wes is the lead pastor in Apple Valley and at the Rosemount Community Center on Sundays. You know, and that's my church, and that's that. Those are my people, and I'm their people, and the whole thing. And I just love them, and that's my church. But with that said, every so often, like on Wednesday nights, if there's if there's something going on, or a Sunday where I've gone to Faith Family on a Saturday, you know, I think that's important to you know, God shows me a lot of things when it comes to things I see on YouTube with false teachers. And things that, you know, that I'll go to a church and all of a sudden, you know, so somebody's breaking out speaking in tongues and then I'll research that. And I'm like, wow, that's not exactly, you know, the way it's put here by the Apostle Paul. So therefore, you know, I'll see that and I won't like it and I'll stay away. And, So it, I look forward to this March 10th, man.
I'd March 10th, I'll text you. I'll text you a reminder if you're interested.
I got
it's about 10 minutes from Coon Rapids B-dubs.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you guys go there every year for Friday football feast. So
it could be in Alaska, and to support you, if I can get there, somebody find me a direct flight to Nome. You better not laugh like that with that cough, man.
I know, seriously. Well, I tell you what, as we get into some Vikings questions here, I tell you what, if I have to run upstairs, it's because my wife's going to pop out baby number two any moment. So if I have to skedaddle, it's because I just received a text message from my wife that our water broke. So
let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, please have it be in your will for the child that was just mentioned to be delivered safely and in one piece and in very healthy fashion to wonderful parents. Who love you and adore you, recognize your son as the Savior, and that we are guided by the Holy Spirit even at this moment. Please put your loving hands on that child which you have created and bring that beautiful thing into the earth in 10 of 10 fashion. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Appreciate that, Paul. And that actually brings up one more point on God's impact in faith. You know, you hear a lot about, I'll pray for you. But the fact that you didn't say, I'll pray for you, and you just prayed for me is powerful.
Say it again.
So you hear a lot of,
In fact, you know, I just quickly, like, oh, that's terrible. I'll pray for you. All right. I mean, we all have said that 8 million times, and the majority of times we don't pray.
Amen.
Because we forget.
Yeah.
So here's what I do. When I say it, like, literally, if I'm talking on the phone, it happened last night to a dear friend of mine who's going through a problem. Man, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And then I'll be like, hold on. And I'll put it on mute. And then I'll pray. You know, if it's a short prayer, long prayer, whatever, I'll pray to make sure I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
I got you. Love you, man.
Shifting on to the Minnesota Vikings real quick. So much offseason speculation, and it's not even the offseason yet. You got four games left in the playoffs. What percentage chance do you give Kirk Cousins coming back in a Minnesota Vikings uniform? Because day by day goes by, and some random guy on bookies.com just projected Kirk Cousins to go to the Raiders. I saw Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons.
Raiders.
What percentage chance do you give Kirk Cousins coming back to the Minnesota Vikings?
Man, that is such a tough question. You know, I'm not afraid to concede that, you know, I love Kirk, and I love Kirk's faith, and I love what he stands for, and I love his father, and I've gotten to know his family. So I want Kirk to come back here very badly. And the spirit that we've had in the building at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center the last couple of years has just been beautiful, man. And, you know, for multiple reasons, after about 20 calling games for this team, I was about done. And, you know, there are some bosses of mine who, if they're watching, they know I'm telling the truth. Some very close friends of mine. I was just done for, I'd done 20 and I didn't like some things about, some things. So, you know, with the new regime that came in with O'Connell and everything, you know, I really backed off going to as many practices. They let me go to practice because they know that they can trust me and I'm not going to go on Twitter or tell anybody anything. But nevertheless, I'm like, you know what? This really gives me an opportunity with a new regime to kind of back away a little bit and dictate terms a way I had not for the previous 10 years. So I didn't go to a lot of practices, didn't need to be on the second floor of the facility, kicking my feet up in a coach's office. I was just, you know, I had done a lot of that. I liked it, served its purpose, but I was done with it. And then all of a sudden we started winning all those games. A lot of, you know, with those close games, man, Kirk Cousins had a lot to do with those too. And then I couldn't get enough of it. Then I was basically at three practices or two a week. I was so rejuvenated from a spirit standpoint, from a Holy Spirit in the building standpoint, prayer in the hallway, prayer in the field house, prayer in the locker room, prayer on the sidelines before the games. And God just really revitalized the situation for me. And Kirk Cousins had a lot to do with that. Just being open with him about the Bible and talking to him about games and stuff like that. And so from a percentage standpoint, I'm hoping it's a high percentage, you know, but I think a key here, Tim, is that there was a report, in fact, talked about at 9 to noon on KFAN today. Former Vikings general manager Jeff Diamond, very well respected in the NFL. I know Jeff. I don't think, you know, he hasn't really worked in the NFL in quite some time, but he knows a lot of people. So I don't have any reason to think he's lying. But he kind of went down the road of that the Jefferson, Justin Jefferson extension is closer than farther. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, if JJ is signed or extended before there's closure with Kirk, well, that either because JJ is not signing a 5-year extension here or 4-year extension if he doesn't know who the quarterback is going to be or what the plan is. Hmm. So that might be an indicator that they're going to close on Cousins shortly after him, or, you know, being around the facility as much as I have, as long as I have, my man, is when you pick 11th, I haven't heard it, but I can guarantee you it's been said 100 times. Well, it's the last year we're going to pick 11th. We don't need to be picking around 11th anymore, you know, because that's bottom half of the NFL. If that's the case, and this quarterback draft is as deep as it is, and if you are not going to redo something with Cousins and you extend Jefferson, I mean, I think that that's kind of a tell that they're shipping all in to get up to pick 3 and they really feel they can do it, or pick 5 and take somebody that nobody's talking about right now. So it's confusing. Kirk re-signing here percentage would be 65.
One thing Kirk has been consistent about this offseason is that he said, the one thing I want to do is win. And the one question that I have is the Minnesota Vikings, do they present the best opportunity to win next season? When I look at the North, well, the Packers, the Bears, the Lions, it seems like they're all getting better. You look at the team like the Falcons, well, the NFC South is garbage. The Panthers stink. The Buccaneers, they might not have Baker back. Mike Evans might not be back. The Saints, who really knows with them? If Belichick does go to the Falcons, do they give them the does he give Cousins the best chance to win?
You know, I mean, I know Atlanta's roster pretty well. The Vikings played Atlanta this year, and that was the Dobbs delirium game. Well, first and foremost, Kirk's wife's family is from the Atlanta area, and they still live there. Well, that matters. Now, you know, if you look at what they have compared to what the Vikings have, with all due respect, I would take our roster over theirs 10 out of 10 times. So, you know, with what you're saying here, what has hit my heart of late, really the last couple of days, and I'm being dead serious about it, and we'll see what happens this weekend, is Kirk Cousins and Kyle Shanahan, coach of the Niners, are very close. And Kyle, they both respect each other 10 out of 10. And Kyle has wanted Kirk before he had him in Washington. So really, if you want Kirk Cousins to be on the Minnesota Vikings, I think the last thing you want to see Sunday night is Brock Purdy head out and lay an egg and the Niners get beat. Because Kyle Shanahan, I swear, he'll cut whatever it takes to get Cousins into the mix. So that's first and foremost, because that's a really good roster. And that's a really good roster. But, you know, one thing that's very important to Kirk is familiarity with the scheme and the offense and the calls. And now he would be heading into his third year here. So it's gotten to be kind of like back of the hand for him. He's very smart. And this offense is very good. It's a pass-first offense, but you know, when they have Cousins, Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, you know, maybe get a little more to have some more merit on the play action, it's a pretty good offense. And I think one that Kirk wants to be part of.
You mentioned a little bit earlier the Vikings' chances or the possibilities that they're going to trade up for a top three pick. Well, you look at the top three picks from the teams. You got the Bears, you got the Commanders, you got the Patriots. And I've seen report after report like you have about the Vikings and their chances of trading up into the top three. But you look at those teams and you think that all three might draft a quarterback. I mean, Mac Jones of the Patriots is a question mark. Maybe they want to see what he's got one more year, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as everyone's reporting that it's going to be. Do you?
Absolutely agree with you. Ben Lieber, former Vikings linebacker, part of the Vikings radio network, our sideline analyst. Well, he said that on the 9 to noon show on KFAN today. And makes a lot of sense, especially with new coaches, one coming in Washington, one already there in New England. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. I mean, it's I've heard from somebody who's extremely close to the situation that's probably going to be the pick. So I'm all in on Caleb first. But whether it goes May, Daniels, or Daniels May, and those teams may not want to move because they have new coaches, I'm with you on that. A couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, kind of hoping Bill Belichick would still be with the New England Patriots because he never does what everybody says he's going to do, which means that pick could, be more tradable. Everybody has a price, okay? Everybody has a price. Keep that in mind. So I think there would be a way to get there if Minnesota wanted to get there. But, you know, the Chargers at 5 with Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, you know, Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback last year, it ain't nobody at this time last year thinking he was going to go like 4th in the draft. All right. So we're going to go to the combine. We're going to figure out what the steam situation's like and try to get a grip on it. But somebody is going to jump way up. I don't know who it is. I don't watch college football that much, but somebody's going to jump way up. So keep that 5 spot in mind too.
Time for 2 more. Brian.
For 2 more. And sweatshirt, and I almost wore a Wolves hat.
Oh, man.
See, that's KG behind you, right?
Yeah, that is KG behind me, yep.
We can spend 5 minutes on the Wolves anytime you want to. I'm totally bit by the squad.
Oh, well, let's do it then. I mean, I was going to ask how excited... Well, Cat goes for 62. Timberwolves lose the Hornets.
Yeah.
Oh, they trade their one of the best players, Terry Rozier, to Miami the next day.
Yeah.
My opinion is that this Timberwolves team, although they are the second team, I think, right now in the Western Conference, I think they went to 2 yesterday or the day before. I think they're a little fraudulent, to be honest. I don't think they have the...
Well, fraudulent,
they have the talent.
I mean, like, you know, if Chris Finch, the coach, he comes on my radio show weekly, and Chris and I just really hit it off from the first time I met him. We're both from the East Coast. We have a lot of similar interests. You know, so even if like Chris were sitting right here and I said this, I don't think he'd be mad at me. But I mean, honestly, in a 7-game series, would I pick or bet the Timberwolves to beat Jokic and the Denver Nuggets? I can't do that. I mean, when Joker's a machine, man, and when the prize is right in front of him, he's a different kind of machine, you know, one that metaphorically just wants to choke the life out of your playoff chances. So if you mean fraudulent that way, like winning the NBA championship, I guess that's one way to look at it. But when you say fraudulent, do you mean like what do you mean?
I don't think they're the best team in the Western Conference. When I compare them against the Nuggets, and I compare them even against the OKC Thunder, the part that gets me is that Mike Conley, 35, 36, 37-year-old Mike Conley, however old he is one of the most valuable players on the Timberwolves, not because he's the most talented, but because he's the smartest decision-maker on the roster.
Right.
There's too many turnovers. Edwards, even one of the superstars in the league, eventually, but his decision-making.
I mean, I'm with you on that, and the league is more wide open this year than it's been in quite some time. I mean, you got Giannis's group firing a coach at the midway point, and they got 1 million wins.
Yeah.
I like the Celtics, you know, but the Tatum, Brown. Now, Derek White, you know, Derek White, man, he's just kind of an ultimate wild card for them.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Porzingis is kind of in and out. But, I mean, the Celtics, you know, this could be the year for the Celtics. But from a Western Conference standpoint, I honestly don't believe that, like, Golden State's going to make some big Steph Curry-led run this year.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're going through a lot with the death of the assistant coach, which was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix with Booker, Durant, and Beal, and Nurkic, who complements them well. They don't have much of a bench, but, I mean, if those three guys, they're unselfish guys. So, like, when Oklahoma City had Westbrook, Harden, and Durant, you know, that wasn't the most unselfish group. mm-hmm. where Durant, Booker, and Beal are unselfish, and Bradley gets to the line a lot, you know, when he plays a lot of minutes and he hits them. So Phoenix, you know, I believe could be the team to beat in the West this year. But with Oklahoma City, is Oklahoma City and the Timberwolves, in my estimation, Tim, they're the same team for different reasons as of right now. You know, Gilgeous Alexander runs the point better than anybody they have to run the point here. But, you know, they don't really have an Edwards off the dribble to do what he does. But the thing, and you talk about the turnovers, man, you're an elite basketball mind. OKC is number one in the NBA at taking the ball, creating turnovers, and the fewest turnovers.
That's going to kill the Timberwolves come playoff time.
Yeah, that is in playoff time, if they can keep it like that. So now, when it gets to be the playoffs and they don't call the same fouls as they do in the regular season and they start to get a little physical with SGA and Giddy hasn't been as good this year as he has in the past, well, now you got Jalen Williams and Isaiah Joe and Lou Dort and all those guys shooting a million three-pointers, and they're really reliant on that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have their flaws the way we have our flaws, but they're just a little different. But this is a fun Timberwolves team, and I just have so much respect, admiration, and love for Rudy Gobert. I've always loved him during his career. I thought the whole situation was awful last year, and he was really slow getting back on defense, and then he's throwing punches at teammates. It went pear-shaped. But this year, he's a bona fide team leader who has galvanized the whole thing and motivates like a true leader, blocks shots, changes shots from the weak side, rebounding's off the charts right now. So I love Stifle Tower, and having him play the way he's playing right now, that's going to help him a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, and speaking of the influence of Mike Conley, well, yeah, think about what they had at point guard before Mike Conley and D'Angelo Russell and his relationship with Gobert. He was literally calling him out in press conferences, saying how he couldn't catch the ball. Well, they trade for Mike Conley, and all of a sudden a flip switched, and we're seeing the Rudy Gobert that we saw. I mean, that had to be one of the best Timberwolves trades in history. They trade for Cassell, they got Sprewell and a whole bunch, but the impact of Mike Conley and what he's done to Gobert and the Timberwolves offense and the maturity level that he added to the roster has just been insane.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that and they lost that game to Charlotte. All right, now the Hornets have beaten the Timberwolves 5 of the last 7 times. Oh. So there are teams that sometimes, for whatever the reason, they got this thing against even the good teams.
Yeah,
unacceptable loss though. Well, they jacked around with that Washington game too a little bit. So what I'm getting at here, and you know, if we got Finch to open a vein. And like, you know, which is not a problem for him. He'll get straight to it. This team has a little too much push button to it for a team that really hasn't done anything in the last 20 some odd years. What I mean is they feel like they can push that button and just shoot by somebody and just beat a bad team. And they've gotten caught with that. So it's a relatively young team in certain spots and they're still learning, but they can beat you many ways. And defensively speaking, you know, when McDaniels is not in foul trouble and he's on point and there aren't a lot of picks, there aren't many in the league who can get around him.
Yeah. Well, foul trouble is a huge issue for him. I mean, if he can remain out of foul trouble, that's the biggest if on the Minnesota Timberwolves roster right now. Because every game, I pull up the game in the third quarter, McDaniels, 4 fouls.
You know what? there's one team that we haven't mentioned. And they don't have much on their bench. Like a lot of teams don't have a lot on their bench. But if Kawhi Leonard is healthy and happy in the postseason, you know, Kawhi might be nearing the end because of all these injuries and everything. He's a killer. And I mean, Kawhi's one of the great playoff players in the history of the NBA. And for anybody who's watched the Clippers of late, and I have, it's a different James Harden, man. I mean, he's not pounding the ball for 15 seconds waiting for the pick. It's a different Russell Westbrook off the bench. He's really accepting of his role. And then you got Paul George complimenting Kawhi. But these LA Clippers, they're sneakier than people think, man.
Well, he's the voice of the Vikings. He did games for the Minnesota Wild. If Alan Horton is gone for a game or two, would you fill in for the Timberwolves now that they're on the KFN radio network?
Bro, that's you know what? You just reminded me that Alan invited me to join him for a game. I don't know, a quarter a game as the analyst or whatever, and I forgot to write back to him. Damn. Oh. So Thank you for reminding me. I would fill in for sure if they asked me. I've never called an NBA game, but you know, I've never called NHL games, and I know more about the NBA than the NHL. And doing those two wild games I did a couple of years ago from a corner suite for Vancouver and Vegas, holy cow, do I have respect for full-time National Hockey League play-by-play guys.
Yeah.
You just can't come up for air sometimes doing those games. It was harder than I thought, but woo, what an energy trip that was.
Yeah, well, I produce part of their games for KFan. I go to the Wild studio and do part of their games, and Joe, the play-by-play voice for the Wild, never stops talking.
Yeah, he's smart. Yeah, Joe's very smart. I really like Joe's call when the adversary scores. And it's like, blah, 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 and he scores.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just cool the way he does it, because I do the same thing in the NFL, and I just kind of know what goes into certain things. And it's, you know, Tim here, Paul there, ooh, shoot, rebound, and he scores. I just think it's cool.
Yeah, it really takes on the opinions of or the feelings of the fan base. You know, that's the way the fans feel. And he scores. Oh, you know, there's just like this letdown, right?
Yep. And one of the stranger critiques or rips or criticisms I haven't really gotten in the last 5 to 10 years, but it's like, you know, Peyton Manning back to pass, shakes the shoulders, looks left, fires, and it's caught by Tim inside the 10.
Yes.
Touchdown, Denver Broncos. And then people will be like, do you have to get so excited when the other team scores? That's how God wired me. I'm not pulling for the other team. It just was a cool play, and it was Peyton Manning. Ready, Omaha! Cool, you know?
You're right, yeah. Don't forget about the 10 zillion audibles that he calls in the same play.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. Well, PA, you got anything else left for me? I mean...
Man, well, thank you for asking about my belief in God and about my faith and about our faith. And, you know, anybody who heard that at the beginning of the podcast, and, you know, if you're mildly interested, it's not as hard as you think to bring Christ into your heart. Praying is very important. And, you know, it's reading the Bible is not easy. Okay. It's quite overwhelming. Unless you try to get your mind and your heart into the audience 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, where they that's how they talked. So, like, from a football standpoint, if I'm like right now, so say I go back 2,000 years, I'm on the road to Damascus, Paul is still Saul, and I'm just chatting with somebody about something, and I go, you know, that skinny post Brandon Ayuk ran where they caught linebacker Jack Campbell flat-footed, that changed the whole game. Well, you know, my man next to me is going to be like, what? You know, they'd have no idea, but that's how we talk now, like in the NFL. Well, they to a certain extent understood what was being written in the Bible at that time. And their mindset of what the world was like at that time is something that we can't grasp. So just keep that in mind with the Lord's Prayer. And then, by the way, that's the only place prayer is taught in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, when the apostle Peter said to Jesus, teacher, rabbi, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just remember the thy part of the equation, that, you know, living life, thy, not I guess doesn't have to be biblical if you just can't get there or God doesn't have you there, but a thy, not I existence is badly needed in the world. Just people living for thy and not I. Finally, you know, a lot of the biblical knowledge or scriptural knowledge that I have attained in the last 5 years, well, a lot of it I've had to be taught. And finding the right types of teachers like you know, a pastor who knows more about the Bible than me. And, you know, you've probably been to seminary and taken
I graduated with a radio broadcasting degree, and it was one of those God called me into a youth pastor situation at our 4-year-old church.
You dedicated your life to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be afraid to seek teachers. And pray about it. Prayer, in my estimation, outside of a belief in Christ and a recognition of the Trinity, when it comes to getting to heaven, when it comes to recognizing that God God wrote the Bible for us, not to us.
Hmm.
And when you realize that, you know, you get into the Bible and it truly is your personal relationship with God, because he's going to reveal things to you in subtle fashion that you never knew were coming. Hmm. You've talked about it. I've felt a lot of them and been directed that way. And finally, just don't be overwhelmed by the Bible when you get into it, because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot. I mean, specifically like from Revelation back to the Old Testament and just so many things. But, you know, I learned this from the late, great Dr. Michael Heiser, who has written books, and you know, he's just so smart with the Bible. What I learned from him in closing is there are four profound truths from the Bible that obviously are key, but it's a great starting point, you know, kind of like the Bible teaches God wants you to know this as a Christian. One, God created all of this.
Mm.
God created everything. Secondly, he's the only creator. So like if God were talking, hey, I created this and I'm the only creator. Those are two very important things. Thirdly, when God became man on earth as Christ and died on the cross for sins that had been, were taking place, are right now, or will be, that recognizing the significance of that sacrifice and everything with free and God's will that went into it. And then the fourth profound truth taught by the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought the Holy Spirit into the world. And that's guiding us and everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I trust the Bible. 2 Peter 1, chapter verses 16 to 21 has the Apostle Peter preaching to many as why he believes in the Bible and trusts the Bible. For me, there are just too many historical accounts that have been accurate over the course of 2,000 and 3,000 years, with eyewitnesses on top of eyewitnesses reporting of supernatural events, and the historicity of it is verified. And, you know, I got a lot of that from Pastor Vody Bakum, who I've heard on YouTube and respect a lot. So just try to get into it, pray about it, and pray again about it, pray to God's will. And if and or when the calling happens and you become one with Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, welcome to the best part of your lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that. Mm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I couldn't tell you this. I mean, it would take me too long to tell you the story about how I got called into ministry, but graduated with a radio degree, got called into ministry, still do my radio stuff, but part-time pastor at our church in the Andover, so... Paul, I appreciate your kindness and your goodness to me over these few years. We've done, you know, podcasts together about one a year for the last, who knows how long, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. And I'm grateful that we've developed this relationship, that you've shown kindness to me. And I remember something you told me a couple of years ago. You said, I, Paul, you know, just like the Bible, could take Timothy under my wing. You've done that. You've done that. So I'm grateful for that. So thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, man. And I'm here for you. So whether it's March 10th in Andover, whether you have an LLC and you need a little bump, you know, because Acts 18 is hitting you, you know, where Paul, the preacher, was like, I'm done. This is, they're all over me. I mean, I'm done. And God's like, you ain't done. Acts 18 is something that I share with a lot of pastor friends of mine, and even a priest friend of mine named Father G, with whom I met for 2.5 hours earlier this week. Acts 18, for somebody like you, it's real.
Hmm.
So if you can't remember it, go back and read it when we're done. It's real. I'm on the other side of a text or a call. If you ever need somebody to remind you authentically from their heart how important you are, how much you mean to me, and how much you mean to a lot of people that you're probably not thinking about right now, because the last thing the devil wants you to do or me to do is to continue what we're doing. So I'm here for you. And if you ever need a bump with that LLC to continue financially or whatever, you hit me up, man. I got you.
All right. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you so much for taking the time. And since we're referencing Bible verses to each other, Acts 16, verse 25 through 36, I think it was, the Apostle Paul and the prison guard, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Oh, man. I appreciate it. Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you for taking the time.
Yep. And for everybody who watched and listened, God bless you and thank you very much.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.